Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We really want to discuss one main subject this week, Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. But before we get to that, I want to again go back to Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party briefly. Because JTF has started, I think, a debate among supporters of Zehut in Israel by saying that Feiglin should change course and should run a strictly down-the-line right-wing campaign. And so I think we've caused a little bit of a situation there where his supporters are seriously thinking about that now. And we're doing everything we can to try to convince Feiglin and to convince the people that are running the Zehut campaign to do exactly that, to run a right-wing campaign. You know, I just want to remind everybody again that the overwhelming majority of Israeli voters consider themselves to be right-wing. The politicians they vote for are phony right. But they think that those politicians are really right-wing, and that's why they vote for them. 55% of the voters on election day in Israel said to pollsters who were doing exit polls for Israeli television stations that they were right-wing. 55% of Israeli voters define themselves as right-wing on election day. And you know, Menachem Begin, for years, was called an extreme right-winger, a fascist, a racist, a terrorist. The political establishment in Israel called him every name under the sun and said he could never get elected prime minister. And yet in 1977, he was elected. And then he won two elections, and then he won another election after that, actually won one more election after that in 1981. So Menachem Begin proved that you could be called an extreme right-winger and a racist and a terrorist and all these other things that they said about him and still get elected. Now, Menachem Begin was a phony. He wasn't a real right-winger. He gave away the whole Sinai. He did terrible things as prime minister. Terrible. But he pretended to be right-wing. He lied to the people of Israel, promised he wasn't going to make the retreats and surrenders that he eventually did make. So he lied. But people were convinced he was right-wing, and that's why he got elected. Arik Sharon, who was a complete fraud, also pretended to be right-wing, and he got elected with over 60% of the vote when he ran against Ehud Barak for prime minister of Israel. Sharon got over 60% of the vote, and they compared Sharon to Hitler and called him a Nazi and a fascist and a racist and an extreme right-winger. They called him everything under the sun, attacking him as too right-wing. That doesn't work in Israeli politics. You can be called too right-wing and still get elected prime minister. That's the nature of the Israeli electorate. So Moshe Feiglin has to learn that lesson. Of course, as we mentioned on prior programs here, Bibi Netanyahu ran 5 times as a right-winger. He's not a right-winger, he's a left-winger. When he becomes prime minister, he breaks all his promises and he runs the country from the left. But as prime minister, as a candidate for prime minister, he pretended to be a right-winger and won 5 times, 5 elections. He just was elected for the 5th time as prime minister. So we clearly see that the road to victory in Israel is by running as a right-winger. And even the left-wing parties, Gantz and Lapid, who ran on a left-wing party, even they pretended to be right-wing, attacked Netanyahu from the right in this past campaign. And all the other parties, the Shas party, which is extreme left, which supported the Oslo agreements, they pretended to be right-wing in the campaign. Lieberman, who was the defense minister, who was a terrible left-wing defense minister, appeasing and putting his nose up the tuchuses of all the Hamas terrorists when he was defense minister, yet he pretended to be right-wing, and he won 5 seats in the Knesset. So we see a pattern here where that's the road to victory. And Moshe Feiglin has to understand that. If he's going to muddy the waters and not secure his base and pretend that he can run this libertarian-type campaign appealing both to the left and to the right, if he's going to do that, he's not going to get enough votes from the left or the right or from anyone else. You can't reinvent the wheel. You can't suddenly say There no longer is, as he said in the campaign, he said, there no longer is a left wing, right wing. Those terms are now irrelevant. We now have a new camp. Instead of the right camp and the left camp, they used to call it Machane HaYamin, the right wing camp, Machane HaSmol, the left wing camp. That's what they traditionally say in Israeli politics. He said, we have a new Machane, a new camp, Machane HaCherut, the freedom camp. That's what he was running on. That was his argument. But the voters were confused by that, were not persuaded by that, and they're not going to be persuaded. You're not going to get anywhere with that. And so I think we've opened up a debate among supporters of Zehut, and I hope that we'll be able to influence things. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to succeed. Don't know. But we're trying. Just want you to know that the JTF is making its voice heard in these matters. Let's talk about the United States and the presidential election we're going to have next year, because it's something that can very much influence the future of Israel as well. And Israel is our number one issue. We are Jews who don't apologize for the fact that Israel is our number one issue. God commands us to make Israel the issue that is important, not only for Jews, but for righteous Gentiles. Israel is the issue that counts. Israel is the issue that should decide how we move on elections and what we do in elections, because the future of Israel and what Israel does will decide the destiny of the whole world. And if you don't understand that, or you think that doesn't make sense, how does a little country have such a great influence and so on and so forth? If you don't understand it, read your Bible. Whether you understand it or not, that's what God has decided to do, the creator of the universe. And that's been true for thousands of years. So, we're going to have a situation next year where Donald Trump will probably, of course, be the Republican candidate running for re-election. And on the Democrat side, now Joe Biden suddenly has a very big lead. That doesn't mean that he will be the Democrat nominee. There are 23 candidates running in the Democrat primary. So it doesn't mean that Biden will win. But right now, he has a very big lead in all of the polls. Not only nationally, he has a big lead even in the early primary and caucus states. So he's looking like a very strong front runner right now. All of that can change. No question that all of that can change. His campaign can collapse very quickly. And he's been known to do endless gaffes and say crazy things and do crazy things. So who knows what's going to happen with him. But right now, it looks like he's a strong candidate. So let's assume that it would be a race between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Okay. And Donald Trump has already said he expects Biden to be his opponent. It's very possible that will happen. So let's assume it's a race between Trump and Biden. Of course, that's a very unpleasant race for JTF, because we're never Trumpers. We're never Trump conservatives. We're against Trump from the right. But as we've said, Biden and the Democrats are worse than Trump. They're worse on all the issues. Let's look at what's going on right now as examples. On Iran, Biden and Barack Hussein Obama initiated an agreement with Iran that would enable Iran to build nuclear bombs and continue to get hundreds of billions of dollars in trade and agreements and assistance from the whole world. So what Biden and Obama were doing is the worst possible thing you could do in regard to Iran and the Iranian nuclear threat. Trump also has not done a good Iran policy at all. If he listens to John Bolton, we'd be good. We'd be in good shape. John Bolton would like the United States to destroy Iran's nuclear bombing program. And by the way, we can put an end to this entire threat. In 24 to 48 hours, the United States Air Force can eliminate Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. They do not have nukes yet. And the United States can destroy all of their nuclear plants and set them back 10 years, and they don't have the money to restart. The United States can save the world from this catastrophe. And Ted Cruz was planning to do that and promised to do that, and he was going to do it. Trump is not doing that. The only thing Trump did do is he pulled out of the Obama-Biden nuclear agreement. So technically, they're both bad. Biden and Trump are both bad on Iran, and he's sending this ship to the Persian Gulf with the Iranians. This is a bluff. So far, this is just a bluff. There's no need for this. Just send in the Air Force and destroy the damn program already. Destroy their damn nukes already. Most of the world will applaud you if you do it. You'll be a hero if you do it. And you'll save the world from potential catastrophe, including the potential of a nuclear holocaust. Trump is not doing that. As we told you in the campaign when we supported Ted Cruz, we knew he wasn't going to do it. He's not doing that. I hope, God willing, something happens that causes a situation where Trump decides to do that, I doubt that will happen because he's too much of a wimp to do it. And he's just a bluff. But Biden's policies on Iran are even worse. That's a fact. Biden wants trade agreements and wants the old Obama deal with Iran. So Biden's policies on Iran are worse. At least with Trump, there's at least some chance, a slight chance, that Iran's regime will collapse because of the sanctions and so on. A slight chance. But again, it would be much better if the U.S. military just went in and got rid of the problem completely and showed the world that this is just not going to be tolerated. That would be the best situation that you could have. But with Biden, it's a complete disaster. It's a complete disaster. It's the United States, in effect, giving a green light to Iranian nuclear bomb building. It's just a complete disaster and a real threat to Israel's survival. Another issue, Israel. Now, we're going to see in a few weeks what Trump's so-called peace plan looks like. Of course, any peace plan is crazy. There can never be peace between an Islamic world that wants to destroy Israel and a tiny Jewish state. There will never be peace between them until the Messiah comes, until Mashiach ben David, until the Messiah, the son of David, comes and rules over the world and destroys all of Israel's enemies. When the Messiah comes and destroys all of Israel's enemies, then there'll be peace because Israel's enemies will be dead. But until that happens, there's not going to be peace. And the Muslim world will never accept a tiny Jewish state right in the middle of the Islamic world. That will never. Israel is smack in the middle of the Middle East, of the Islamic world. They will never accept any non-Muslim state in the middle of the Muslim world, especially not a Jewish state that humiliated them in wars by surviving, by winning six-day wars against the whole Arab world and humiliating them and showing how weak the Muslim world is militarily. They will never accept the Jewish state. Never. So so-called peace plans are absurd. And there is no Palestinian people. There is no Palestine. The entire land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people. Because God said so. God created the world. And God decided that that piece of real estate belongs to the Jews. And if you go against the Bible and go against what God said, you're doing something that's suicidal. But anyway, Trump's going to release, Trump and Jared Kushner and these other jokers are going to release the plan in a few weeks after the Ramadan, Islamic Ramadan fasting holiday. If the plan is quickly rejected and Trump doesn't really push it, and that's the end of it, then on the issue of Israel, Trump would also be a lesser of the evils, because Biden and Obama and the Democrats obsessively pressure Israel to commit suicide. Every Democrat president has done that. The past three Democrat presidents, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and Barack Hussein Obama, obsessively pressured Israel to commit suicide. Jimmy Carter got Israel to give away the whole Sinai, which was 75% of all the land that Israel had, to Egypt. It was a catastrophe. And Bill Clinton, under Bill Clinton, we had the Oslo catastrophe that he pushed obsessively, and he tried to get Israel to go back to the pre-67 suicide borders. Thank God that the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat stupidly, insanely rejected the very generous offers that Israel was making. The insane, suicidal offers that Israel was making. Thank God that Hashem gave us an enemy so stupid like Arafat, who rejected those offers and demanded more and more and made demands that were so impossible that the talks collapsed. Thank God that happened. But Bill Clinton spent the last 2 years of his presidency obsessively trying to get Israel to commit suicide. Barack Hussein Obama and John Kerry, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, those two hideous monsters, they obsessively tried to get Israel to commit suicide. And because of them, there's been a building freeze of all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem now for many years. Obama started that in 2009. So, and Kerry, you remember Kerry traveled to the Middle East like about 10 times in 6 months, obsessively trying to get an agreement there for Israel to commit suicide, to go back to pre-67 borders that are only 6 to 10 miles wide that would be suicide for Israel, God forbid. Biden is from that whole type, he is from the same anti-Semitic Democrat Party that wants to destroy Israel. And so we're going to be back again with that pressure to get Israel to commit suicide. There's always a danger a tremendous danger when you have the President of the United States putting the power of the United States of America, together with the Europeans and the whole world, behind a massive pressure campaign to get something like that going. There's a tremendous danger to Israel's survival when that type of thing is done. So Biden is worse than Trump on Israel, so it seems. If Trump comes up with a plan that calls for a so-called Palestine state and he starts pressuring Israel and it looks like there's a chance that this might go through, then Trump could be worse even. Then we will never, we will do everything we can to defeat Trump if that happens. But if that doesn't happen, then we would continue to say that Biden is even worse on the issue of Israel. We'll see. We'll see in a few weeks what happens. On the issue of China, Trump is finally initiating a campaign to squeeze China to a certain degree. It should be much tougher what he's doing. What he's doing on China is not even the beginning of what should be happening. There should be much stronger tariffs on China to really end this incredible, massive, multi-trillion-dollar robbery that the Chinese have been perpetrating against American consumers, together with multinational American corporations who are looting the American people as well, together with their partners in the Chinese government. Trump is finally cracking down to a certain degree, and that's good, and that he should do that, but he should do it even more aggressively against China, because it's about time that somebody stood up to this incredible ripoff that we have in the American-Chinese trade relationship. Biden, of course, said China's not a problem, and he doesn't see any, and he's against any attempt to get China to stop exploiting America and stop cheating America and stop robbing the American consumers. Biden is against taking any action here at all. So on the issue of China, Biden is worse than Trump. On the issue of the border, both of them are bad. Trump has not built his wall. Very little of the wall has been built. But he claims that he's trying to build the wall now. But Biden represents a Democrat party that says that even what you have there now, even the fencing there now, should be torn down. So I'm not sure who's worse on the issue of the border. I'm not sure about that. I think they're both pretty bad there. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in the next year and a half. But right now, all I could say is right now, the number of illegals coming to the United States is higher than it was under Obama. So I can't say that Trump is the lesser of the evils on the issue of the border. I don't know who's worse on that issue. I think they're both pretty bad, despite Trump's rhetoric. With Trump, we've gotten a lot of rhetoric and no action and no results. Results, I'll tell you what results would be. You dumb Trumpsters. Let me tell you what results would be. Results would be that the illegals are not coming in. That would be results. Okay? And he promised as president that one way or another he was going to achieve that. And he could have achieved it as president. Okay? He has not achieved that. He has failed to do that. So that's not good. And Ann Coulter is right when she says that he's doing a terrible job on the border. Okay. But on the issue that's most important to us, the issue of Israel together with Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, on that issue, Biden is worse than Trump so far, and at least right now. We'll see again with Trump's so-called peace plan what happens, because Trump, that could change. If Trump suddenly becomes very bad, our position will change very fast. But right now, Biden is worse on the issue that really is decisive for us. And so we have to fight Biden's candidacy. We're going to have to fight Biden's candidacy if he runs. It's amazing how bad the choices are for the American people. Trump is a terrible choice. I mean, just look at his... I mean, this is the great genius as a businessman. I don't even... You know what? We've discussed him so many times, and people are so foolish when it comes to him. I'm not even going to go through it again. I think he's just a terrible, terrible leader, a terrible choice, very immoral. But Biden, he's supposed to be heading a Democrat party that's part of the Me Too movement, that's part of this feminist movement, where if you say the slightest thing that offends women or gays or any other group or transgenders or whatever, you're finished, your whole life is over. And yet that same Democrat Party is defending Muslim congresswomen who are making openly anti-Semitic remarks, saying that Jews are hypnotizing the world. Openly anti-Semitic remarks, and all the Jew Democrats, all the self-hating Jew Democrats are defending these Jew haters. I mean, what a sick situation this is. And it's something that we can't ignore. And Joe Biden is part of that. He's part of that. He's a Jew hater himself, of course. The Democrats are anti-Semites. And he's part of a party that detests, that detests the Jewish people and detests the state of Israel and that wants to only cause harm to Israel and the Jewish people. And the self-hating Jews in the Democrat Party detest Israel. They're ashamed to be Jewish. They're embarrassed about their Jewishness. They want to assimilate. They're cowards. They're cowards who want to hide and run away from being Jewish. And so they want to destroy the Jewish state and destroy their Jewish background and destroy their own people, these filthy animals. And Joe Biden represents them. And the Democrat Party represents them. So that's something we can't ignore. And of course, the candidate who's number two in the polls, he's number two in more than one ways. He really is number two, if you know what I mean. Is Bernie Sanders, the ultimate example of a self-hating Jew, a Jewish communist who hates Israel and the Jewish people, who wants to destroy Israel. So this is what we're stuck with. And again, if JTF does conduct a campaign here, if we decide to conduct a campaign against Biden and against the Democrats next year, we could be a very effective force against them for the simple reason that we are never Trumpers from the right. And again, millions of evangelicals and millions of people on the right did not vote for Trump in 2016. They refused to vote for him. They would not vote for a foul-mouthed, immoral, disgusting person like Donald Trump. They just wouldn't vote for him. I didn't vote for him. And millions, there are millions of other people like me that did not vote for him on the right. Many of them were supporters of Ted Cruz. They refused to come out and vote for Donald Trump on election day in 2016. They just didn't vote. Millions of them. If anybody can bring them out to support Trump in this election, if anybody can bring those voters out now, and he's going to need every vote he can get now. The polls show that Biden would defeat him in the election. Polls show Biden running ahead. If anybody can convince those never-Trumpers to come out and support Trump, which would be millions of extra votes for him in key battleground states, if anybody can convince them, it would be us. The stupid Trumpers, the Trumpsters, can't convince them because these people have contempt for the Trumpsters. They consider the Trumpsters to be immoral and phony and everything that's wrong with conservatism today. They look at the Trumpsters and they see everything that's wrong with conservatism and with the Republican Party. The only people who can convince them are people who, like them, are also never Trumpers, but we would say, we agree with you, we can't stand Trump. None of us could stand Trump, but look, the alternative is worse. That's the only argument that can convince people like that on the right to come out and support Trump. So we could be very effective in the campaign. We could make a difference, especially if it's a close election. We could make quite a difference. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I know that we've discussed this issue before. And again, I don't know with Biden. He makes so many mistakes, and he's so senile. I don't know if he's senile because when he was younger, he also made these stupid mistakes. For instance, he said on the campaign trail he wanted to talk about him speaking to the Prime Minister of Britain. So instead of saying Theresa May, who is the Prime Minister of Britain, he said Margaret Thatcher. He thinks Margaret Thatcher is still the Prime Minister of Britain. Margaret Thatcher from the 1970s and 80s. She's the Prime Minister. Actually, she was Prime Minister in the 80s. She was the head of the Conservative Party, opposition party in Britain in the 70s. But she hasn't been for decades. She hasn't been in British politics, of course. And he mixed it up. Now, of course, if Trump had done this or a Republican had done this, you'd never hear the end of it. Biden, of course, also puts his hands all over every woman he can get his hands on, including women that are young, including girls that are young enough to be his great-granddaughter. And he gets away with it. If Trump or any Republican had done this, wow, that would be the end of their career for sure. But Biden gets away with it. Just like Bill Clinton got away with raping Juanita Broderick. Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. He raped her in a motel in Little Rock, Arkansas in the 1970s. He knocked her down on the bed in the motel room. He said, come to my hotel room, I'll give you your papers. He was the Attorney General of Arkansas. And she was a secretary in the office or working in the office there. So she came to pick up the papers. He said, you want to pick up the papers? You come to the hotel room, I'll give you the papers. She came, she assumed he's the Attorney General of the state of Arkansas. He's not going to do anything. She didn't even think that he would, it didn't even cross her mind that he would do something like this. He closed the door, knocked her on the bed, started biting, pulled her clothes off, ripped her clothes off and started biting her all over her body and raped her. And he got away with it. And he was elected president after that. That shows you what type of country we live in. How Democrat Party politicians can get away with anything. It shows you what type of party we have. I mean, what type of country we have. Because when the media is controlled by the left, they drive the agenda. And they're the real ones who are controlling things behind the scenes. The media and the big moguls, the big multi-billion dollar moguls that own the media and that own the big companies, that own the big social media companies, they're the ones who really control the American political conversation in this country. And they protected Bill Clinton, and they're protecting Joe Biden, and they went after, and they've been, Donald Trump has succeeded in getting elected despite the fact that they are against him. He did get elected over their objections. And he will see if he can get elected, can re-elected, despite the fact that they do want to defeat him. We'll find out. But in the meantime, we're trying to make a difference in Israel. We've opened up, I think, a new debate in the Zahut party about what direction Zahut should take. I hope we're going to have an impact there. And here in the United States, we'll see. We'll see what impact JTF has in terms of next year's presidential election. Could be that we have no impact. I don't know. Well, listen, we tried. There are times when we did have impacts in political campaigns and times when we didn't. You know, we pushed it. We wanted Al Gore and Joe Lieberman to be defeated in the year 2000. Because Joe Lieberman was a self-hating Jew running for vice president. That we always want to prevent. When a self-hating Jew is running, we always want to defeat them. And they wound up winning. They wound up losing by just a few hundred votes in Florida. And JTF sent out the evangelicals in Florida, got our material against Lieberman and against Gore, and handed out tens of thousands of them all over the state of Florida. They took our material, was handed out along with other material against Gore and Lieberman. So, we could have had an impact on what happened there. You know, there were many other groups involved as well, but you never know. You never know. On the other hand, we also tried to stop Obama from getting elected. We couldn't stop him. So, there are times when we succeed, there are times when we fail. That's the way it goes. We try to influence things to make this a better world. And we're going to try to influence things in next year's presidential election as well. In the meantime, we're continuing our fight. And if you want our uncompromising voice to be heard in Israel and in the United States, then you're in the right place. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.